Okay, we're picking up in the Revelation Bible study in section 19b, page 23 in your outline, chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, the sixth seal judgment. So Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12 reads, "I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood." So here we have a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." So Joel had prophesied that these things would happen before the day of the Lord, and in other words, the second coming. So this gives us further evidence that these seal judgments occur chronologically in the tribulation period, the seven-year period prior to the coming of Christ, and specifically the first half of that period. Notice that these verses in Joel, which are literally fulfilled here in the sixth seal judgment in Revelation 6:12, are also quoted by Peter in his Pentecost sermon in Acts chapter 2. So the question arises, why would Peter quote those verses out of the timing of their actual fulfillment? Well, the answer is this. In Acts chapter 2, this passage in Joel was filled typologically based upon the point of similarity of the divine work relating to judgment. In other words, to put this in layman's terms, what happened was the people had rejected the Lord, and the Lord would judge the people because of their unbelief. And this is something that happened in the book of Acts, and it's also something that happens here in the book of Revelation, which is prophesied by Joel. So it's point of similarity that the people reject God and His Christ because of unbelief, and a judgment ensues. And in the days of the early church, ultimately that judgment was fulfilled with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That's something that Jesus talked about also in Matthew chapter 24. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 13, "And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind." The stars of heaven is a reference to angels, and in the context, it is a reference to fallen angels. Now, how do we support that? Well, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, we read, "The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches." So, right off the bat in the book of Revelation, Lord Himself, this is in red letters, tells us that the reference to stars is going to be a reference to angels when it's used metaphorically. And also in Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, we read, "The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven." And in verse 11, the name of the star is Wormwood. So Wormwood is actually a fallen angel. This is the name of an angel, a fallen angel. We'll cover that in a little more detail when we get there. And in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, that the fifth angel sounded. We're dealing with the trumpet judgment, so we're jumping a little bit ahead to teach that the stars of heaven are actually angels. And in 9:1 we read, "I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit." So here again we're dealing with a fallen angel. And then again in Revelation chapter 12 verses 7 through 10, we read about how war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, in the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So this is a reference to the fallen angels who had been cast down to the earth. But here in Revelation chapter 6 verse 13, we read here, the stars of heaven fell to the earth. So these are fallen angels. So this is what's going on in the sixth seal judgment there. Is a great earthquake, darkened sun, moon-like blood, and the angels are coming down to the earth. So there's all kinds of havoc going on. And in Revelation 6:14, we read, then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. So here we have a supernatural change, supernatural topographical changes to the earth. And in verse 15, we read, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. So no matter who they were in earthly status, they couldn't stand before the Lord their God. And so it is with us, no matter who you are, no matter how much money you have, no matter what your position is, your status, how popular you are, how good a person you are, it's not going to get you anywhere when the Lord comes to call. The Lord's judgment comes upon unbelief in all of its forms. And the only way to be spared these judgments is to come today and make your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've done that, friend, I urge you to bring other people to that same place so they don't potentially have to deal with these kinds of judgments that before which no man can stand. We have the weakness of human power in the face of God's judgment. Puny man shaking his hand at Almighty God. And we have an example of this in Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is a great messianic psalm, and it's in this psalm that we first derived the title Son of God, and it's applied to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And that word Messiah or Christ means anointed. So against the Lord and his Christ, we could read this and we'd be on good ground, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision, and then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And here it is in Psalm 2:12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. And that was true back in the Old Testament days when the book of Psalms is written. And it's true today, and it's going to be true back in these Revelation days. If anyone's lucky enough to get to this point, they ought to be kissing the Son because the Lord's wrath is mighty against sin. And who can be spared? Who can be saved? Only those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So here there are some who are so foolishly valiant. They're foolishly courageous because of their human pride. They don't come to God because to come to God would be to come to the light. And they didn't come to God because their deeds were evil. We read in John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And then in Revelation 6:17, we read, "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" The great day of his wrath. This is a title of the day of the Lord, which speaks of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Comes from the Old Testament book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 14. And if you read through Zephaniah, we read through Zephaniah and we find that he prophesies of Judgment Day. And that Old Testament book is a fitting parallel read to the book of Revelation. So if you're reading through Revelation, you also want to take a read through Daniel and Isaiah and Zechariah. And Zephaniah would probably be the fourth book I would send you to. We've already looked at a lot of connections. Daniel and Isaiah are kind of the big two, but also Zechariah and Zephaniah in other ways. God used this prophet, the prophet Zephaniah, in this message to motivate Israel to spiritual revival in the days of Josiah. In we find that in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 13. Josiah was one of the good kings of Israel, under whom Israel was granted a revival. First there was Jehoshaphat, but Jehoshaphat didn't quite go all the way, and Hezekiah took it a little bit further, and Josiah further still. But the nation of Israel ultimately walked away from the Lord. And it's a picture of spiritual apostasy. And this is the state of the church that's going to be found when the Lord returns for his people, and what we know theologically as the rapture, the Lord taking up his people to bring them to himself. He's going to come for his saints. And at the end, he's going to come with his saints. Okay, moving forward in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, we read, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. And then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." So God basically tells the angels, okay, we're going to judge. I'm going to judge the earth. But wait, stop everything. Hold the presses. And there's a supernatural calm. And here we have a reference to the seal of the living God. And we have some cross references here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 in verse 33, where we read, "He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true." And again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 19. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal." And here's the seal: "The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Basically what's going on here is those who are sealed, there's going to be 144,000 who are going to be sealed for the specific purpose of evangelism. But this sealing deals with something even broader than that, the sparing of judgment. So this is a similar concept to the Israelites putting the applying the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, and the angel would pass over, and the seal would be upon them. They'd be spared the judgment. So this is what's going on here. God is going to spare the judgment to those who have, according to the writing of Paul to Timothy, this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. So even believers will be spared some of the worse excesses that are going to be going on in this time of tribulation. And in verse 3, the seal is going to be on their foreheads. And the idea here is this denotes divine association with the divine, with God, and divine ownership. Okay, next time we'll pick up in Revelation chapter 7 in verse 4.